A vintner he from fair London would ride down to Gloucester City in order to hide his head from the merchant to whom he did owe much money for claret, canary, or so, and being unwilling a merchant to pay, he packed up his ulcer and soon rid away. This vintner was of the Jacobite strain, and did not approve of a Protestant reign, because of the late prohibition of wine, had caused his trading of late to decline. Therefore he no longer his tavern would hold, but went off with 200 guineas in gold. He mounted a sumptuous begelding, we hear, and did in most gallant apparel appear, his sword, wig, and beaver so rich and complete, that he was as great as a lord in conceit. My landlord with merchant I leave both behind, and pay them I will when the devil is blind. He ambled and galloped to up and to down. At length, when he came into a market town, he took up his inn and for liquor did call, as likewise a supper of dainties withal. And as he was sitting, he labored to force from Roger the ploughman some pleasant discourse. What news have you here in these parts, my good friend? Doth not great taxes your landlords offend? The which was not heard of in Jemmy's late reign. Quoth Roger, there won't be, I'm certain, again, when once we have conquered proud Huffing, monsieur, and therefore they pay with a merry good cheer. The taverner told him that Louis was strong, and would send a fleet and an army ere long, the which would this kingdom with vigour invade. Till then we must never expect a good trade. With that lusty Roger immediately cried, "Ye treacherous rascal, I'll liquor your hide." The Londoner then in a passion did rave, and cried, "Ye poor bumpkin and pitiful slave, for what you have spoken this minute you die." But Roger immediately made this reply, "I fear not your rapier nor passion to boot, with this very club I'll your noddle salute." This gallant was going his rapier to draw. "If faith, sir," quoth Roger, "I am for club law." With that he gave him such a crack on the crown, which made him almost like an ox tumble down. And crying for mercy and pity amain, quoth Roger, "You'll wish for the French here again. I never will talk at that rate any more. If this heavy thrashing you please to give o'er, I'll pray for King William, Queen Mary, or so, and count the proud French our most insolent foe, and curse the whole gang of the Jacobite crew, if I may this minute find mercy from you." Quoth Roger, "Arise and stand up like a man, and here's a good health to the king of Fulcan, and here is another I drink to the queen. 'Tis William and Mary, good fellow I mean, and here I will make you to pledge their good health, wishing them all glory, true honour and wealth. Nay, this is not all, for before you do go, you now shall drink to the confusion also of all the French army, and likewise their fleet, or else you the end of my cudgel shall eat." The Jacobite then took a bumper in hand, and straight was obedient to Roger's command. "Good fellow," quoth Roger, "now this is well done. Take care that hereafter your clack do not run in prating too much of the favour of France, lest you for the same on a gibbet should dance. In kindness to you I will drink t'other can, and say that you met with a right honest man.